Okay, ready?
Clearly the computer hates you.
Okay, ready?
This computer's got good taste.
Okay, ready? Okay, ready?
Hey, guys.
Hey!
Hey!
You want to start over?
Hey, guys.
Hi!
Hey, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
If I'm louder, I'm right.
Go on.
No, that's about it. Pretty much all I want to say.
I'm Jimmy Calloway.
I'm a turkey sandwich eating kind of Jeffrey Berner. I don't commit to things. Thanks for tuning in to I'm Louder, I'm Right.
Thank you very, very much.
Where we debate the real issues.
So very, 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 very real issues.
The word association issues.
The Associated Press issues.
Nope. The word association issues, actually.
The word association issues.
The Associated Press issues.
The press and poll issues.
No, the Associated Press issues.
The Associated Press issues.
No, the word association issues.
The word is.
Thanks for tuning in to If I'm Louder, I'm Right. I'm Jeffrey Berner.
And I'm Jeffrey Berner.
Ryan Hicks. And with us today is our new permanent moderator.
Right.
Before we find out who snuck in here, secretly, we should discuss what happened with our previous moderator.
As stutteringly and haltingly as possible.
Yes.
We should discuss.
Yes.
Just.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
Topic.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No?
Yes.
Nine.
It's a different bit.
Right. So. Our previous moderator, Brian Simpson.
Brian Simpson.
The lovely.
Of the Simpsons fame.
The salacious,
yep,
if I may say.
Indeed.
Brian Simpson. He is no longer moderator, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
After an unfortunate incident, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, he was eaten by crocodiles after he jumped into a zoo exhibit to save a Pomeranian.
Mm.
Why actual living crocodiles were in that panorama on the ecosystem of northwestern Alaska.
In the what?
The panorama.
Okay.
It's like a panorama, but more like Futurama. It's a panorama.
I love panorama.
Banana.
Their cover bread. Their cover of Venus was
why
great.
That banana bread on the ecosystem of northwestern Alaska had crocodiles in it remains a mystery. But you know what? I've got a hunch. I got a hunch, Jimmy.
Do you?
That this death, that Brian Simpson's death, is somehow related to the East Coast, West Coast rat beef.
Why do you say that, Jeffrey Berner?
I don't know. I just got a hunch.
You should probably see a doctor and get that cleared up.
Brian Simpson, he never specifically mentioned anything about the East Coast, West Coast rat beef.
That's true.
But, you know, I look at Brian, and for some reason, I just say, East Coast, West Coast.
Oh, okay. I'm picking up on what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's because he was wearing shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our Tupac died in...
I remember that.
Died. I said died in quotation marks.
Right.
In shoes.
You don't think it's the black thing?
What? Was Brian black?
No, the black thing that was on his shoes.
His socks?
Oh, is that what those were?
Yeah, those were socks.
Okay. All right. Then I'm thinking of something else entirely.
You know, sock is an anagram for Tupac if you change the letters and number of letters in the order of the letters.
I did know that.
Yeah.
I read that on a bar napkin.
Right. Was my number on that bar napkin by chance?
It was.
Right.
Now it's in my phone.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
Now, as tragic as the death
I gave you that napkin because you were disgusting and filthy, by the way. It wasn't like an invitation to, you know.
Why would you write your phone number on something you want me to wipe my face with?
Because I get off on having my phone number wiped on people.
You should have just said that. You don't have to.
I go into public rest stop restrooms and write my number on every piece of toilet paper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just kind of a thing. But now our new permanent moderator.
Yes!
Our new...
Very patient new permanent moderator. Miss Elizabeth S., ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
I'm clapping along with you guys. So, I'm excited. I'm the permanent moderator.
Yes.
I think I'm going to set up shop here.
Oh,
start a
certainly.
Family.
Right.
It's going to be good.
I think the accent already is working out for me.
Yeah.
What is it? Where are you from? Polynesia? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, Myanmar.
Yeah.
So many M's.
Lovely, though.
Yeah.
We love our N's.
Formerly known as Burma. Currently known as Burma? Which one was
Burma?
First?
Burma. I think you're thinking of Siam.
One of them you use it and you're a racist, but I forget which one. Sorry.
Let's just assume Burner's a racist and go from there.
Right.
I already did that. I'm like 17.
See how astute she is? She's so quick on the uptake.
It's that Jew quickness that really...
I'm not Jewish. I wish I were, though.
Ah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
That makes one of us.
Okay.
So,
anyway.
Anyway. So, Elizabeth.
Yes.
How was your day?
You know, it was great. I napped a lot.
Hey, that sounds great, Elizabeth. My day.
Jimmy, I don't care about your day. So, Jimmy, how was your day?
Nah, I didn't really do nothing.
You fucking nihilist. You know...
Yes, Jeffrey.
I mean, say what you will about the tenets of National Socialism, dude. At least it's an ethos.
Don't be fatuous, Jeffrey.
Let me explain something to you. I'm not Jeffrey, okay? You're Jeffrey. I'm the dude, man. So, that's what you call me.
You know, I think I'm just going to have to feed you into the wood chipper.
You know, that reminds me. I had these two friends in Minnesota, in Myanmar, camping out there by the lake. One friend, kind of funny looking.
Like, what do you mean, like, funny looking?
Oh, you know, just generally funny looking. Anyway, he was going out for some Band-Aids for his face, because he's a big Nelly fan. And my other friend was like, hey, you forgot your axe. And he ran out to return it to him, but then the cops showed up, the fuzz.
Oh, wow.
They were covered in fuzz, these guys. Fun to rub up against. Mm-hmm. Pregnant fuzz, as a matter of fact. The cops showed up. So my friend, the funny-looking one, he jumped and he tried to hide in a wood chipper.
Huh.
Till it all calmed down.
Jeez, he must have been going crazy out there by the lake.
What do you mean? You referencing some there?
No, I mean, because there's no... It was just the two of them. There was no women or anything. See, I'm trying to get... Geez, I'm going crazy out there by the lake to become a popular euphemism for a personal sexual drought.
Well, you're asking the right guy to do it. I've got a lot of opportunities to use that. Did I mention I'm fucking Steve Buscemi? Of course, I say fucking Steve Buscemi because I want to emphasize the fact that I'm Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, I get you.
You see, after I escaped from Margie, that was the pregnant fuzzy lady, and the wood chipper, I went... out to L.A. to hide. Unfortunately, after I stole my friend's rug, I felt it was time to escape and form a new identity, so I faked a heart attack and left the dead body of Steve Buscemi, who I'd been fucking at the time, to throw people off.
Hmm.
And now I'm here.
Yeah.
Fucking you.
Well, hey, we're glad to have you.
Yeah. That and, makes one of us.
One of us.
Yes.
Which one of us?
We are one.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like that I Am Legion sort of...
Thing. I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, with Charlton Heston.
Whitney Houston. She was a world. And, yeah.
So, hey, Elizabeth.
Hey.
God damn it. Don't bring me into this. This is on you guys.
That was rude.
That was,
whoa.
No, of us yeah, to bring you into.
No. You know what?
No, it was rude of you to bring us to bring you into this.
Okay, let's just all agree that we're rude.
Okay.
We're a team of rude people.
I can do that, you pigs.
No, I can agree that you're rude. So.
Hey, get used to those exasperated sighs, lady.
You have a really great microphone that picks up the sighs from this far away.
Yeah. The ancient ninja weapon, the sighs, that Elektra, the assassin, had.
Sure.
Yes. Hey, you just tuned in. If I'm Loud or I'm Right.
Hey, hi.
Hey, I'm Steve Buscemi.
And I'm Peter Stormare.
John Goodman. And, Bill Parker. And, other Coen brothers.
Not that mother scratcher.
Right.
Why don't we do a topic already?
You know Oedipus, he was always scratching his mom. That was what he's known for, right? Scratching her? It's like, and people are like, it's disgusting.
Elizabeth, would you be a deer? And introduce the first topic, please.
Yes, sure. grow some antlers.
Okay, here we go. The police recently searched a man and discovered that he was hiding genitals. Despicable.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I can't believe this.
After the man was brought in and his genitals were confiscated, he gave up a list of over 6 billion people who were hiding, using, and in some cases giving out their genitals. Although none of us are hiding genitals, of course.
No, of course.
How should this awful black market be handled?
Well, I'm glad you asked me first.
And I'm also glad you asked me first. Personally, as a man without genitals, proudly without genitals, might I add,
of course.
For most of my life, there was a brief experimentation period in junior high school. But beyond that, you can look down your nose at me all you want, Jeffrey Berner.
Oh, I will.
As tall as you are, standing at 7'5".
And my eyes are inside my nose. Two nostrils, two eyes. So, I feel like I'll start talking now. Now, of course, no, I've never used genitals. I wouldn't be the kind of guy to use genitals. That's
Jeffrey,
that's
why are you sweating? It's not warm in here.
You got hairy palms, you get warmer, you start sweating, and also I'm blind, but that's just because my eyes are in my nostrils, but of course using genitals is a despicable, awful thing, but, you know, we shouldn't be treating this as a criminal thing. This is a health problem that people have, and, you know, sometimes, though, genitals have been shown to have positive effects. I don't know if you've heard of medical genitals, which are, of course, superior recreational genitals, which are just irresponsible, to be honest. But the medical genitals, you go see a doctor, and you say to him, "Man, my neck hurts." And they say, "Here, here's some balls." And it really helps.
Jeffrey, your balls are out of play. And your bats as well.
I have no balls. Don't say, I'm not a guy with balls.
I was speaking metaphorically. I don't know why you're so defensive and jumpy this evening.
Well, it took balls to use a metaphor like that. And I'm having you arrested.
How dare you, sir? How dare you accuse me of something like that? How dare you make me lose my place? Now look, when it comes to this horrible black market, first of all, I find it a little disgusting that the black market genitals tend to be larger. I think that's a stereotype that I think needs to be put to rest once and for all. We need to cut this crime at the tip. Bring a moil in here or something, but something needs
to
be done.
Well, let me get this down to circumcised for you, okay? Well, you know, sure, it's a problem, but we're just creating more crime with this, and we're not able to treat it if we just treat it like a criminal issue. People, they get angry. There's a lot of bad side effects from this, like anger and semen and other fluids that you're like, about, you know? Because, there's things from holes, Anyway, but you gotta... You can't just let this not be... genitals, as we all know, are addictive. In fact, I know of people sucking dick in alleys for genitals. Okay?
Don't speak for yourself.
Well, I generally do.
Elizabeth, you have something to weigh in on this topic, then?
I mean, 6 billion, that seems like a lot of people claiming they're getting pussy, but they're probably not. I don't know.
What proof do you have to the contrary, then, young lady?
What? Proof that people aren't getting pussy?
Podcasts
are proof that people aren't getting enough pussy.
I hate to admit, but, you know. I think you should just leave our cats out of this.
Okay.
I think she's trying to tell us she's not getting any pussy.
Yeah.
You and me both, sister.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, I think with these examples that you're giving, you're just... You're getting far too specific. We need a more general genital description of this problem, which will include warts and all. Now, this topic has been around for about 12 or so years before it finally dropped. And
that was when scientists mastered the genital structure, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Well, they mastered, exactly how to lure genitals, the master bait, if you will.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. Let me tell you something, okay? You know?
I do.
You know about there's a disgusting criminal underworld to this thing that we're just allowing to exist by making... genitals illegal. There are these people that they meet in bathrooms and they use these genitals. They say they're using these rooms to bathe and rest. They're not. They're doing awful, disgusting things in these places. And I have in my right genital a piece of...
Your right what?
My right Freudian slip.
Uh-huh.
There's a slip from Dr. Freud.
Oh, that's lovely.
He just paged me.
A nice chemise. Is that how you say that?
In my right hand, my right Freudian genital hand, a piece of incontrovertible genital.
I think we need to move on to the next subject.
You know, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and agree.
I feel that, genitals.
Okay. Feel your genitals. Okay, we're moving on. The Supreme Court has declared that they will now be accepting analogies as valid legal arguments. Is this a good thing, or is it like a tortoise marrying a turtle, just plain wrong?
Can you say that with an accent?
What kind of accent?
A Myanmar accent.
Myanmar accent.
Okay. Or is it like a tortoise marrying a turtle? Just plain wrong.
Okay, now can you do a Minneapolis Myanmar accent?
Or is it like a tortoise marrying a turtle? Just plain wrong.
Okay. Right. Now a Minneapolis Myanmar accent.
Will you stop trying to plug your dialect coach business from on the side here?
1-800-JEFFREY-TALKS.
Can we just get to it? Can you just get to it already?
Can I? Allowing this to be allowed would be like frying eggs over a space heater. Impractical and not allowed. Consequently, frying eggs over a space heater should not be allowed. You know, it's like,
Jeffrey, your argument is a lot like a hen in a fox house. It's all backwards. Now, what I think should be done...
I'll tell you, what you think should be done, it's like a chicken taking a bear out to get a cup of cocoa at Marie Callender's. It's a nice thought, but it's kind of specious when you think about it. You know? It's like,
Jeffrey,
it's like,
analogies in a court of law, they're simply necessary. And, you know, I know it seems a little weird at first, but like a spare tire in a glove box. Yes, it's excessive, but it's also very convenient. Right. So what I feel...
Keeping analogies out of the courtroom is like a young, handsome man recording a podcast with inferior foes in some guy's house. It's appropriate, but he kind of wants to leave, you know? It's like that. It's like,
Jeffrey, with this argument, you're like a turkey in the corn, drunk and upsetting my uncle. Now, what I feel should really be done...
Stop with your feeling, Jimmy, okay? Keeping him out of the courtroom, it's like a person listening to the voice of a beautiful young man on a fake debate podcast. It's apropos.
Mm-hmm.
It's a professional poll.
Jeffrey, I find your argument to be like the laughter of a small retarded boy. Shrill and unappealing, although undeniably somewhat cute. But...
Well, I'm a tell you... That was my Forrest Gump. That was very good. Anyway, look. If we just allow analogies in the courtroom, what else? Are we going to start saying alliteration is okay? Are we going to say things like, per example, Gamblin's guilty? And then I'll be like, oh, I guess she is now, because they used alliterate. Are they going to use rhyme? Are they going to say, filthy Gamblin's guilty? Huh? And then it'll
that
be...
That isn't rhyme.
Okay. Fuck you, Jeffrey.
Fuck me, Jeffrey Verner, but I have here in my right analogy.
With what?
With what?
Fuck you with what, Jimmy?
Whatever you have handy.
I got some genitals that I got from this guy.
I think we should talk about this. Look, now we're whispering directly into the mic, which I think it strikes me as being...
Look, I know it seems counterintuitive,
but this
genital thing's kind of making me irrational. I've been craving...
But the thing is...
Yeah, it's the thing.
I totally lost my train of thought.
You lost your train of thought. Well,
moderator can't hear you guys. Speak
oh.
up.
Oh! Hey, Elizabeth.
Speak up.
Hey, Elizabeth.
I can't rule who wins this thing. You might be winning this whole thing, and I have no idea because you're whispering to the microphone.
I don't. I feel really silly. Honey, could you break out the defibrillator? I think Burner's having a cardiac arrest.
I thought that was the goal, is to give him a cardiac arrest.
Like,
Okay, Elizabeth, I really think I told you that in confidence. I didn't want everyone to know that we were going to get Burner a heart attack. But now that we're whispering,
is he dying or what?
No, I think he's all right.
Okay.
You get some water? You get some of that turkey sandwich?
I was going to get some turkey sandwich water.
Hey, Elizabeth, did I mention that I have, what do you call it, one of these pieces of incontrovertible, you know, evidence there?
You know, I think we should move on to the next topic. Let's see. After a grueling 20-year trial, ferocious cult leader, with whom we have no association, and born-again Christian, Jamie Gamblin...
She could also call her prophet.
...has been declared not guilty of the manslaughter of 7,000 people after using her groundbreaking, "Hey, these things happen" defense. Should this defense be allowed, or is it risking putting the country at a dangerous national shortage of people who are locked in cages?
You know, I mean, this is kind of a thing that goes on, I feel. You know, I mean, it could be said to be like a hen in a house. You know, but at the same time,
Jeffrey, look, I will state with no reservation and with clear conviction, you know, I just, yeah, I'm not, this kind of defense, it doesn't really do it for me. You know what I'm saying? It's like an analogy that's not very well, you know, thought out. It's, one of those, you know, it's just,
I mean, these things happen, though, you know, this Ms. Gamblin, or Jesus, as some may call her.
Some may call her that. I don't know that anyone in this room would call her that.
I mean...
I don't know.
You don't know that one person in this room might have genitals, either.
I don't. I don't know any such thing.
But, I mean, she's a victim of circumstance. You may remember on an episode of this that no Jamie Gamblin or God was on, perchance. Mm-mm. I talked about determinism, which is, of course, a poorly pronounced version of determinism.
You really won't let that go, will you?
Huh?
You really keep running yourself.
Deterministically, I kind of have to, you know. But that was too real. So, you know, Miss Gamblin, she does. You do things to maintain. Sometimes you poison 7,000 people. That's just the streets.
If you look at the legal history affecting this case, I mean, back in the late 70s when we had the U.S. versus Jim Jones, whose attorneys posthumously, of course, enacted the "oh come on" defense, which did not really do them a whole lot of good. There was also, after the FBI and the whole Ruby Ridge fiasco, defended their actions by saying, "Ah, he had it coming." Now, of course, we all went, "Well, yeah, of course," you know, we agreed with that. But that's, I think, an isolated incident. And then, of course, as always, there was the defense, Janet Reno's famous press conference where she defended her actions at the Branch Davidian compound when she said, "What?" So I don't think that any of these...
You know, I mean, that's not... You know, sometimes when you know, sometimes these things happen. Sometimes when you poison 7,000 people, they die. These things, it just happens. And, you know, sometimes when you poison 7,000 people, they teleport to the 11th dimension on a comet, where their prophet, Jamie Gamblin, or as she will be known at that point, Charles Manson, will send us to an eternal place of happiness and joy forever. And that's kind of, you know...
Well, I mean, look, again, I take your point, but the defense attorneys, they could have at least, you know... Jamie Gamblin, who may or may not be the returning of the prophet Elijah, they could have at least gotten up out of their chairs, walked around, maybe hooked their thumbs into their suspenders every now and again. Yeah. But rather, they just sat there and went, "Eh, you know."
Yeah.
And personally, I just find that to be lazy barristering. Is that the verb I want?
Could be.
Sure it is.
Well, look, okay? I mean, you know, Jamie Gamblin, who has been mentioned, may or may not... be a hero to us all. You know, I mean, sure, you can convict her, but
she may not be that.
What are you going to do, you know? I mean, these convictions, they happen. You know, these things do happen. But, I mean, you know, if things were to... I got a piece of incontrovertible evidence, and it's poison, and I will begin discussing... Yeah. And I will be discussing this piece of incontrovertible evidence.
I think Jeffrey wins this debate. I think he wins whatever the hell is going
on. Wow, I didn't even have to say the evidence. That's,
All right. These things happen, do they?
No.
Sometimes you cater and, catering doesn't go.
Look, Jimmy.
How is your catering business going?
It's going okay. I've made a lot of, Jew food. You know, because catering do a lot of quinceañeras.
For the Jews.
Look, Jimmy, I'm a succeeder. You know, some people dream of success.
What?
While others wake up and work hard at it.
Can you say that one more time and a bit more slowly and dramatically for me, please?
Some people...
A little faster. This is a little bit faster.
That's not faster.
It's more haltingly.
Some people read off of the tops of leather-bound notebooks as if they're inspirational quotes. And other people tell people to read off of the tops of leather-bound notebooks as if they're inspirational quotes. And,
I don't know what that signal means.
There you go. So, Jimmy, as you know, being a loser...
I do know that.
...which you are, you suck. You are now to be subjected to one round of truth... ...or dare.
Yeah, you know what, Jeffrey? You don't frighten me. I've lived a gender-free life.
Always calm with your jerky sandwiches.
And so, you know what? I got nothing to hide. I'll take, what
were the options were dare.
Truth!
Or truth.
The second one.
Which one was that again?
The second one.
Wait, so... Okay.
It was the one I was...
Okay, so first, I said dare.
Right. So then whatever you said after the first thing...
Then I said truth.
Said. Is that what it was?
But what was the first one again? Shit.
Elizabeth, are you writing this down at all?
No.
Okay, good. Wait, okay.
Okay.
Wait.
So it was truth... Turkey sandwich.
Right.
Dare.
Wait. Is that... No. Because then the second one would be a turkey sandwich, and I've already had that. That's not what I wanted. Wait, what are we doing here again?
Truth or dare, Jimmy?
Truth.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry.
Wait.
So,
truth it is.
Wait. All right.
Wait, is it what... Truth it is.
Truth it is.
Okay, you just tuned in. If I'm loud or I'm right.
Hi.
Hey, I'm Steve Buscemi still.
And I'm John Goodman.
And I'm Joel Cohen.
And I'm Roderick James.
Ethan Cohen. God, so terrible. Truth it is. Jimmy.
Yes, Jeffrey Berner.
Is this to use...
My friend and co-writer.
We sure are co-writers. Is this used car you're selling me really worth it?
Oh, okay. Look, you know what? As a used car dealer, I'm very upset with the going stereotype.
Front for genitals.
How dare you? With the going stereotype that used car dealers are anything less than truthful and honest people. Why, just today, I bought this rundown jalopy.
It was yesterday.
I mean, I bought this vehicle from this kindly old man. And you want to hear something funny. He told me that this car would make it so that I always had to tell the truth. Have you ever heard of such a crazy thing?
But
the thing of it is, Jeffrey Berner, I don't have to lie to you about this car.
Right.
Because it is the best car in the world.
It's a bike. Go.
It's actually got the worst mileage possible on the road.
Right.
There are no brakes.
Right.
And the windshield is made out of dead kittens.
So if I were to ask Curtis
very,
Blow,
very thinly.
If I were to ask...
Why am I telling you all this?
I don't know.
This is crazy. I'm trying to sell you this car.
This is odd.
And it's I'm doing my... I'll be honest with you.
Right.
I'm trying to lie to you. How is that? Does that blow your mind? You see what I'm doing? Well,
being honest about trying to lie to you. I don't even know why I'm saying this, because this is not in any way endearing you to me or this piece of shit car I'm trying to sell you.
Right.
So why am I continuing with this, Jeffrey Berner? Why am I compelled to tell the truth? It's as though I'm in some sort of an area or like a zone, you know?
Right.
That's
like a particular time of day?
Yeah. Like it's not quite nighttime yet.
Right.
Nor is it really day anymore.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like late afternoon. It's like a late afternoon sort of a zone.
So if Elmer Fudd were to say the word try.
But I don't know why. Okay, you're losing me, because I don't know why he would say something like that.
Like he'd be like twy.
I don't know that he. Okay.
Twilight Zone.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right.
So anyway.
Well, I mean, Jimmy, when you put it that way, I'll take it.
Are there?
I'll take the car.
Oh, all right.
I'll take...
That worked out much better than I ever... You know what? If I can be truthful here, and I think I have to, because I'm being compelled by some sort of weird science fiction thing.
Right.
It's never actually explained as to why a car would have a power over somebody like this, but anyway. Yeah, truthfully, I gotta say that's worked out a lot better than I thought it would. Going into this transaction, I was like, I'm really gonna fuck this guy out of his money, because this car's not even gonna get down the block. And then all the truth came out of me.
Right.
And then you still bought it anyway.
Right.
So you're clearly a fucking idiot.
Right.
All right, good. I'm glad we got that all solved.
I didn't want a car with brakes, because I'm always driving with Curtis Blow, and he's always pointing at the pedals, and he's always like, these are the brakes. And I was like, Curtis Blow, no one remembers that song.
You know, truthfully,
yeah,
I'm glad that you mowed over my dead kitten windshield joke with trying to get that Curtis Blow joke out.
Right.
And then you finally got it out at the end, so everyone's happy, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
We need to come up with some signals, perhaps, to not interrupt each other.
No, I think everything works fine right now. Well, this may be a record setter for turkey sandwiches consumed.
I don't think so. I think the Ryan Hicks episode probably had more of those.
A lot of turkey and Ryan's, a lot of turkey and Dante's. That turkey sandwich business is really making a lot off of us here. Anywho, thanks for Elizabeth, thanks for Coates, thank you.
Moderating. First of many episodes she'll be moderating for us.
Unless, of course, someone gets paid to kidnap her and we need money for her business.
Look.
What's up?
Okay. I don't know why this is so difficult for you to, but when we're...
Jimmy, that's a microphone. You're whispering into him.
This is not... What are you
kidding
me?
That's not my ear. That's it's a microphone.
This is clearly your ear.
No, it's a microphone.
It's round and snowball-like. I don't know how much more like your ear this could possibly look.
My ear is one of a kind, but it's unique.
Right, so I'm talking right into it.
Right, but it's not...
If you could... Look.
It's a microphone.
Look. Anyway.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Thanks. For sure you'll be here for...
many, many years.
So many years.
As long as we're on the air, in quotes.
By the way, what's a year? I'm always saying that because it's a big word.
I think it's like it's like a half hour? It's like 30 minutes?
That's about a...
Yeah, it's the thing I was just talking.
Yeah, it's a year.
The year is... See, look, okay.
So,
I know that you like using big words, like year.
Yeah.
Myanmar. Very, very, you know, polysyllabic words, like year.
Yeah.
Or, I always say Myanmar.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Myanmar, because, like, I read a lot,
yeah.
So I don't hear words, but when you read a lot, then you tend to stress the first syllable of words that you don't hear a lot, and nobody ever says Myanmar. Is it Myanmar?
It's Myanmar. It's this movie. It's coming out about me and my good friend. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks for coming by. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks
for dropping by.
This is, thanks. And as always.
Come on, wrap it up, guys.
Wrap it up.
Wrap
you heard
it
the
up.
Lady. As always.
As always. As always. Hail Gamblin'.
Good evening, my name is James Calloway, speaking on behalf of Jeffrey Berner and the If I'm Louder, I'm Right team. We have been tasked by our producers to say at the beginning or end of each episode, before the closing tag, to ask our listeners to do the following. 1. Check out the other podcasts that are on the Point & Yell Network. 2. Go to Point & Yell on Facebook and quote-unquote like it. 3. Go to iTunes and review and rate our podcast. Do these things and you will not be harmed. Thank you. Good evening. We would also like to thank very much Hattie Fever for writing and recording our theme music. Also, follow us on Twitter, @louderandright, and feel free to tweet at us topic ideas that you may or may not have. Good night. Help!
This has been a Point and Yell production. Yeah, I think the words, but sometimes they don't come out of my mouth no good.